And now, sports and other stuff. The Closers. Join the talk now. 800-229-5378. News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
A little different change in protocol for us here on The Closers as we are two things. One, live from the Mizzou Arena, and also we are ahead of all the news and all the rest that you would normally get at the top of the hour at 4 o'clock. Welcome in. It's a Monday here. I'm George Young, Jay Sparks alongside, and also Tom Holmes running the show here. Johnny Duncan back in the studio, and it is time for the introductory press conference for the new head coach for the Missouri Tigers, the 19th in their tenure. Anto Martin as the group approaching the dais right now. Athletic Director Jim Sterk, Mike Kelly, the play-by-play voice of the Tigers, Chancellor, and also, yep, only got three, so here
Ladies
we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon and welcome to what is truly a very special day in the annals of the University of Missouri's Athletic Department. My name is Mike Kelly. I'm the voice of the Missouri Tigers, and it is a pleasure on behalf of everyone associated with our great institution and this athletic department to welcome you here today to Mizzou Arena. This has been a pretty good year so far across the board in Tiger athletics. Just think about what took place this weekend in St. Louis, Missouri. Brian Smith and his wrestling program. They finished fifth at the NCAA championships, the third highest finish in program history, with a program record tying five wrestlers named All-American. Including Columbia's own three-time national champion, Jaden Cox. But that success has spread beyond wrestling. The women's swimming team finished 13th in the NCAAs this year. It's the second highest finish in program history. 13 All-American performances in that meet. Steve Beezer has had a pretty good start, hasn't he? Those of you listening and watching, if you don't know who Coach Beezer is, he is the head coach of the 18th ranked Missouri baseball team that has won 19 consecutive baseball games. But today is about the sport of basketball and the hiring of a young man that was born in the state of Missouri, who prepped at Illinois, who played collegiately in Indiana, and then after a few coaching stops has returned home to the state of Missouri. Please direct your attention to the video screens above me.
I'm coming home, I'm coming home. Tell the world I'm coming home, I'm coming home, I'm coming home. Tell the world I'm coming.
Konzo Martin was the greatest leader probably ever had as a player, because at halftime, we took him half-time.
Konzo Martin's career, as a player, but also as a coach. Getting ready for the introduction of Missouri Tigers' 19th head coach, Konzo Martin, coming from a stint at Missouri State, Tennessee, and most recently at California, where they were upended in the first round of the NIT this season.
You got to be a warrior at all times.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, will you please stand and give a huge Mizzou welcome to our new basketball coach, Konzo Martin, his wife Roberta, and his son Chase and daughter Addison, the Martin family. M-I-Z. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the Chancellor of the Columbia campus at the University of Missouri, Dr. Hank Foley.
Mike, thank you very much. Thank you very much. So what a terrific day this is. Did we decide we want to be successful? Did we? You bet we did. You bet we did. And we're going to be successful. It's not enough just to be in the SEC. What do we want to do? We want to win in the SEC, right? Well, this is the first step in that direction. We're going to make sure that happens. Look at this house. Is this a great place? Konzo, this is your house now. This is your house, right? And we're looking forward to filling this house, and we're looking forward to having really great success and doing it with honor and having these student athletes who work so hard, I watched them all season, really feel the same excitement that all of us feel about them and about their futures. I couldn't be more thrilled that this has turned out this way, and I just want to give so much credit to my friend and colleague, Jim Sterk. In fact, I'm going to give him more than credit. I'm going to say thank you to his team. I'm going to say thank you to Brian White, to Tim Hickman, and others. But more than anything else, what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to give him the microphone. And that's something that I don't do easily. So, Jim, here you go, my friend.
Thanks, Hank, and thanks, Mike. I really appreciate you all coming out today, and it is a great day for Mizzou Athletics and the University of Missouri, as well as the entire Columbia community and the state. We're so excited to welcome and introduce Coach Martin, his wife Roberta, their children Chase and Addison, and Joshua, who's probably watching on the internet right now. But through this process, I really like to thank Chancellor Foley, President Choi, our board of curators for their incredible support throughout this process. It isn't easy, and a lot goes on behind the scenes, and they were just so supportive in order for us to come to this day. Also, our general counsel, Steve Owens, and Matt McNamee, couldn't ask for better support throughout the university, the system with our board, and all of you. Also, a special thank you to Brian, and Tim, Sarah, Mary, and Nick. A lot of I can only be successful if I have great people behind me, and I do have a great staff that works very hard. And then also, and she'll kill me for this, but a special thank you to my wife Debbie, all our spouses. They put up with a lot on a regular basis, but then when we get a time-consuming issue like this, it adds to our crazy schedules, and I just really appreciate her support and appreciate all those spouses out there and significant others of our staff members. The university, as Mike said, you know, we have a great tradition in basketball, and it's evidenced by nearly 1,600 all-time victories, 35 postseason appearances, 25 conference championships, and numerous All-Americans and All-Conference Tigers throughout the years. All of us want to see our programs compete for championships and consistently play for postseason and represent Mizzou in the right way on and off the court. It often is stated it takes a village to raise a child. It's no different in developing a championship-level basketball program. It takes great support from the chancellor, from the president, from the board. It takes a great staff to support our student athletes and coaches. And it takes a great community and region to attend, support, and create an atmosphere at the games. Not only to just support the players and the coaches that are currently there, but also future players that are dreaming about coming to Mizzou and want to play at Mizzou. That type of support also impacts the university overall with our enrollment. Our future students get a glimpse of our great institution on the SEC network. And I know John Sunvolt's here. He does a great job on that. Where is John? He's also a former great there. It helps create interest to all our amazing academic programs, and we're we're able to showcase the university and get a glimpse and get people to want to come here and aspire to come here. And if it also takes the right person to lead the program. He needs to hire the right assistants, attract high-quality student-athletes, develop the talents that's here to their full potential, and so that fans want to come and enjoy the game so it's exciting and fun. And as a land-grant institution in the great state of Missouri, the institution's core mission is to engage and enrich the lives of every citizen of the state. I believe the athletics program at Mizzou has a key role in that engagement, and I take that mission very seriously. Today, we're able to check off all the boxes need to develop a championship-level program with the hiring of Konzo Martin. Konzo, from the very start, looked like a great fit for the Mizzou community and our basketball program. I was looking for someone with passion, integrity, and experience. Konzo's been molded and by his challenges each step of his life and strengthened to develop and prepared to have him prepared and experience to lead this storied basketball program at this time in our history. You've heard many things about him. He was born in St. Louis, has deep roots in the region. He was a standout high school and collegiate player, coached at both high school and college, launched his coaching career as an assistant at Purdue before his first head coaching position at Missouri State. In 9 seasons as a head coach in Division I, his teams averaged 21 wins per season with 7 postseason appearances. Each program Konzo has taken over has become better and increased success. In short, Konzo is a winner on and off the court. I'm thrilled that Konzo and his great family are here in Columbia and at Mizzou. I look forward to them meeting all of you. Believe me, I bragged about you. This is a show-me state, and I know since coming here, you all have been so great and gracious to me and my wife, Debbie, and I expect nothing less, and I know you're excited to meet them. They are great, great people, and will lead our program to new heights. So, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Missouri head basketball coach, Konzo Martin.
Jersey. Oh, there we go. You couldn't have 22 because it's retired.
Thank you, Jim. This is a special day for me. It just feels like home. This is one of those days as you begin your coaching career, you start thinking, will I ever get an opportunity to coach at a place like Mizzou? And now to be home, just up I-70, is a tremendous feeling. As you all know, I'm a Midwest guy, and to be at home amongst family, friends, loved ones, supporters throughout the state of Missouri. It's a great, great feeling for me. And before I go any further, one thing I always have to do is introduce my family. And I have a lot of family here, as you can see. My wife, Roberta. Who's basically my right hand, been a tremendous supporter, wonderful lady. Now, my oldest son, Joshua, couldn't be here. He just came off spring break. He attends another university. He attends Purdue University, so he couldn't be here. So I imagine he's watching. And my other son, Chase, who's 15. And my daughter, Addison, will probably join the gymnastics team. And as well as my family, my mom, my brothers, my sisters, my uncles, just cousins, it's a tremendous feeling to be a part of this. It's just so humbling for me because it seemed like this thing has come full circle. I'm happy to be here. Also, I'd like to recognize people that are very instrumental in me coming here. Chancellor Foley, President Choi, the Board of Curators, Jim and Brian. Please give those guys a hand. And oftentimes it goes unnoticed, but I thought they did a tremendous job and were very professional and respected the fact that I was at another university. I thought they did an exceptional job, so, and I really appreciated that. Now when you talk basketball, I grew up watching Mizzou basketball. Norm Stewart was one of my favorites. When you put Norm Stewart and Gene Cady, I always watched Norm Stewart, my three favorite, Norm Stewart, Gene Cady, and Jim Calhoun. Because I felt like those guys were tough, hard-nosed. They demanded a lot of their players. They worked extremely hard. They competed at a high level. They played with passion. And they were tough coaches. So, you know, oftentimes people call them old school. So I guess I'm an old school coach now. But I love the way those guys coached the game. And now as we fast forward, I think this is a wonderful place. Great tradition, great history. One of my best friends, Melvin Booker, played here. A lot of great players that played here. Great facilities. I don't think there's anything that Mizzou's lacking. I think we have everything to be very successful. I think we have everything to be the last team standing one day, and that's my goal. The things that we have to do to be successful, everybody talks recruiting, but that part is understood when you're talking about recruiting student athletes. But for me, it's more than that. We got to have guys that understand the passion of being a part of this program. Guys that want to be successful, not only on the basketball floor, but in the classroom. I mean, very successful. Not just to say I got a degree, but to have a successful career. And I think that is most important. And those are the things I learned along the way. My mom talked about that as a youth, but didn't really understand what it meant at that time. But now as a man, the importance of being successful and really trying to make our guys understand, not just basketball, but in life. Because my goal for all of our players is 20, 30 years down the road. That they're successful men. And that's for me, that's very important. And the other step for us is in the community. We have to do a great job in the community because look at this, right? I've never been in a place like this, at a reception like this. So give yourselves a hand. I appreciate that. And the one thing I want you all to know as you attend today, in order for great programs to be successful, of course you need good basketball players. Guys that want to be a part of a great program, but you need a great fan base. And we need everybody on board. Even those tough times, we need everybody on board because you have to understand our staff will do everything in our power to be successful. And we'll work to the midnight hour to be successful as a program. And we won't stop until we're the last team standing. That's a lot of work behind, and it's done the right way with a high level of integrity and character and with good people. So you'll be proud as a fan with our staff and our players, because we'll do everything in our power to represent the right way, because it's not just what we do on this floor, it's also what we do in life, and we're part of this community, and I tell our guys, whether you like it or not, you're part of the community, and we have to make it work together. Even on those bad days where you thought I made a bad call, a bad play, stick with me, because we're family, and that's how we become successful. And again, just to have an opportunity, there have been a lot of great coaches that come through here, but just to have an opportunity to coach on the floor that Norm Stewart coached on, even though it's a different arena, but just to be in his presence because of what he meant, what he represented, how hard his guys played. And I think his number 22 is retired. I wore number 22 at Purdue. That's probably why they gave me number one, because he's the only guy who can wear number 22 around here. So they let me take the number one. But again, he probably beat me in one-on-one, too. So, again, this is a tremendous opportunity for me. I'm grateful for everything, and I appreciate everything. And I would like to open up for any questions. Yeah.
You're listening live to the press conference, introductory press conference of Quanzo Martin here on the Closers. Just talk 1400 KFRU and AM 1240 KLIK. Martin and showing up his number one Martin jersey and then getting ready to open things up to questions.
Gentlemen, have a seat and we'll begin the question portion of today's event. We have two microphones to those of you in the media. Just raise your hand. I ask you to please stand when you ask the question and give your name and affiliation. Let's begin here up front. Thank you.
Hey, Gonzo, Dave Matter from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Welcome to Columbia.
Thank you.
What about this job and this place maybe com- compared to other places you've coached is somewhere where you can see yourself for a long time and establish some roots?
Well, my wife and I, we weighed all the pros and cons. I mean, outside of it being close to home, I just felt like it was a great place. And I feel like you can be the last team standing here with the fan base, the tradition, the history, and you're the state school, so to speak. So I think you have a lot of things to be very successful. So being close to home was probably the last thing we weighed the pros and cons. I just felt like it's a great place, great support. And I think the administrative piece was also key for me because I want to work with good people because in those bad days, you have to be around good people, in my opinion. I think we have a great group of people here.
On the corner here, or on the aisle, three rows back.
Conzo, Frank Cusumano.
Hey, Frank.
How do you remember coming out of Lincoln and Norm Stewart's recruitment of you? Did you make a visit here? How do you remember that time period?
I didn't make an official visit, but I came on campus several times because, again, we didn't have anybody from East St. Louis on the basketball team when I was in high school. We had several guys on the football team and also guys that I grew up with that went to school here as students. So we had some good times here. But they recruited me. They came to East St. Louis. My high school coach, I love him. Benny Lewis, a great man. But he wanted me to go, so somewhere else. But it was great. I mean, I thought they did a great job. It was. they recruited me. Yes.
Next question, second row to my left.
Conzo, Benjamin Hockman, the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Welcome to town. For those who have not seen your teams play before, can you describe what type of style your basketball teams play?
Well, what we like to do, we like to play extremely hard. We like to, the one thing we talk about all the time is to play unselfishly as a team, to play together, and defend, rebound, and play as hard as you can play. And oftentimes, that's easier said than done. I mean, I think you look at our defensive numbers, we're probably top 10, 11 in the country every year. I mean, just taking pride in that part. Offensively, we put guys in the NBA, but a lot of it has to do with your skill level. My job as a coach offensively puts you in position to be successful. And I tell guys all the time, I hadn't shot a basketball in 20 years. So my job is to put you in position to be a successful basketball player. But the things that we cannot compromise is defending, rebounding, and playing hard.
Right here in the first row.
Conzo, Gabe D. Armand with PowerMizzou.com. You mentioned this being a job that you'd had your eye on in the past, and obviously your name came up here a couple times. So what made this time the right fit on both sides, and when did it kind of fall into place that you viewed this as a reality?
Well, every opportunity I've had as a coach, I felt like that was an opportunity to do my job. And the most important thing is you hired to do a job and do the job to the best of your ability. It wasn't like I was seeking opportunities, but when this came about again, when it presented itself, I just felt like, for me, as you pray through things, this is probably it for me. If it works out, if Mizzou keeps me for 20 years, then it's my plan to be here for 20 years. This is it for me.
First row.
Conzo, Austin Kim, ABC 17. Can you give us a timeline on when things really got serious with Missouri and when it kind of became, really serious that this might be a destination for you?
Again, one thing that's why I mentioned, out of respect, I really respect the way Mizzou went about it because oftentimes there's a lot of conversations that take place behind the scenes and people calling, which if you occupied another job, they shouldn't call. So again, whatever they did it behind the scenes. And then obviously my representation, probably the last week or so when they made the decision that here's an option. And for me, I don't get, maybe my wife did, but I don't get caught up in what's on social media. I don't read any press clippings. So I was just doing my job coaching a team. And then when they presented it, just again, an opportunity couldn't pass up. Because I thought all the things worked out right and just so happened to be at home. Because I thought even if it wasn't at home, everything was great. But now all of a sudden it's close to home. And again, I pray that this is my final stop.
Coach, a familiar face on the aisle about four rows back.
Pezo, just remember back to Springfield, your first job as a head coach. What did you learn about winning championships there?
Well, I thought it was a tough job. To be totally honest with you, and if anybody out there wants to get into coaching, don't do it. But I felt like that was the toughest thing for me as a coach my first year at Missouri State. Wonderful people, great place, but I thought it was extremely hard because it's my first time as a head coach, and there's so many unknowns because oftentimes we have all the answers as assistant coaches,
Then you move over to that one seat, and there was not many people I could communicate with, because you're the boss. You're supposed to have all the answers. Everything is supposed to be right. Well, we won 11 games that first year, and I thought it was tough. I just said, man, this is. So you have to fight. You have to work. You have to be around good people. And for me, even in choosing a staff, you have to have people that you can lose with. And what I mean, of course, nobody wants to lose, so I'm not saying that, but on those bad days, we have to have a great relationship so we can push forward. Because oftentimes, you're building a champion, you have rough patches here and there, so I got to be around good people.
Coach, right in the middle of row two.
Konzo, Danny Jones from the Columbia Tribune. I was just going to ask, what were your takeaways just about the Southeastern Conference after coaching 3 years at Tennessee?
Oh, it's a great league. You see, they have three teams in the Sweet 16 right now. The one thing I thought when I was in the SEC before, I didn't think the league got the credit it deserved as far as the basketball piece. And oftentimes, they would say, well, because of football was so big and they didn't value basketball. But you had great coaching. You had a lot of guys that played professional basketball. It was a physical league. I think it's a great league. I really do. And I think the fans support it. Great locations. And I think for any league, you want to be in a league where you have multiple teams playing the NCAA tournament because everybody have a chance to have success. As you can see, you have three teams in a Sweet 16.
Right here on the aisle, row two.
Konzo, Bill Pollack, Missouri Net. If you had an opportunity to talk with the student athletes and just tell us what your first impressions are.
A wonderful young man. I talked to him probably about an hour ago. I mean, obviously great guys. And I don't want to necessarily get into specifics of what we talked about, but the biggest key is if losing basketball games, if that's the worst thing they'll go through in life, they'll live a great life. They're successful men. Coach Kim could coach. Stuff happens. And then all of a sudden, you know, my wife says it all the time, losing is mental. We have to get better as a program and as a team, but great guys. My thing with those guys, and I said to them, hold your head up high, have character, have integrity, and we'll get where we need to go. But for me, is to understand who they are. You have to walk a certain way. Don't allow losing to dictate or determine how you move and walk as a young man.
Row one on the aisle. Coach, right in front of you.
Coach Martin, Todd Palmer with the Kansas City Star. I just wonder, your previous job at Missouri State and your job now, or your previous job at Tennessee, how much do you think that will help you acclimate to Missouri and maybe get this program up and running a little quicker?
Well, again, like I said to the guys, I said, we all have a new slate here. I don't know what the record was last year. I don't know what happened last year. They lost a lot of close games. Anytime you beat Vanderbilt here by 20, and then, you know, stuff happens, so that means you're good enough. The parts are there. So that means that we got to improve our confidence. We got to get bigger, stronger, faster, and all those things. But it's work to be done. I haven't looked at anybody in the league or what they have or don't have. I'm consumed with our team, and I think we have a chance to be successful. And I'm not in the business of waiting 3 and 4 years. We have to work and get it done, because if you're physical enough to do it, we got to get it done. And I don't think there's any ifs, ands, buts about it.
Good time for a couple more questions. Up here in front, Gabe DeArmond in the first row.
Coach, I know it's day one, but can you kind of prioritize your next few weeks as far as getting to know these guys, recruiting, and signing a staff?
Well, you know, I'll be in tears throughout the night because my family's going back until my kids get out of school. So, you know, I'll be here solo working, which is always fine, because those first 3 weeks for me just – you hit the ground and run. You forget where you're sleeping at sometimes because you're just moving. But I'll be out there. I pretty much will be out the Midwest just recruiting. But first and foremost, I'll meet with the players tomorrow and the next day. Then after that, it's just hit the ground running.
Back row.
Coach Brendan Weesey, KTRS in St. Louis. If you could, just your philosophy on recruiting while at Cal. You recruited an individual just a few miles radius, a five-star kid, inside the Bay Area, while also recruiting a kid from Georgia several thousand miles away. How do you prioritize recruiting nationally and then within the borders of your home state as well?
Well, I mean, the one thing I try to stay away from is those cliches and sound bites that make it sound good. I try to be sincere as possible. But Mizzou is not just a national brand, it's a world brand. I mean, so when we recruit, we're not just recruiting in the United States, we're recruiting across the world. And I think we have to understand that and get the right student athletes to fit what we're trying to do. And those two guys you mentioned, that was about relationships. One of them I knew when he was 14. Now, obviously, the guy was a local guy, but just working extremely hard, building relationships, and helping them see what we have to offer. And this is a great place. And again, the one of the things I want everybody to leave here with as fans, and it's very important that we understand this piece, when recruits see our basketball brand on TV, when they come to campus, when this arena is filled up, it helps me do my job. And I think those are the things we have to understand.
Coach, row four.
Coach, Scott Lunte from Quicks and Creston Moberly. Kind of alluding to the previous question, what do you see on the Missouri high school basketball scene?
Well, per NCAA rules, I can't speak specifically about an individual, but it's great basketball. We had our battles when I was, you know, grew up in East St. Louis. We had our battles on this side of the river, but a lot of those guys now are coaches, friends of mine. But throughout the state, tremendous basketball, great coaching. Not only that, but they have great summer league coaches. But I think throughout the Midwest, there's a lot of good basketball. And for us, we want to start the state first and foremost, but we got to go all across the world pretty much to get ball players.
We're going to stay in that same row and then come up front here in just a moment.
Coach, Matt Michaels of KTGR Radio here in Columbia, welcome. I want to ask, did you seek out any counsel when you were considering to take the Missouri job of people either who had been here or within the profession, or was it pretty much an easy personal decision for you?
Truthfully, my counsel, because it happened so quickly, was my wife, really. I mean, just to be totally honest with you. So give her a lot of credit for that.
Our final question comes from the aisle over to our left.
Hey, Coach, Darren Helwedge with KBIA Radio here in Columbia. You know this is a fan base and a university that's hungry for winning basketball, yes. But you've also talked about integrity. Jim talked about some of the other expectations. Talk about the conversations that you've had with Chancellor Foley and the other people here about the academic standards and about the other standards beyond just win basketball games that are expected of you here.
Well, again, for me, and I try to stay away from, again, I ask questions because it's part of my job, and I read the news when stuff is presented to me. But when I was at Missouri State, if I'm not mistaken, we graduated 8 out of 9. When I was at Tennessee, 11 out of 11. Here at Cal, and we got 5, so it'll probably be 10 out of 10. I don't consume myself with what took place if I wasn't a part of it. My job is to do what we need to do right now, because I always look at that as an excuse. I understand what took place, figure out a way to make it work, and move forward. I just try not to consume myself with anything negative and anything that slows me down. So pushing forward, I ask questions about what has taken place, and now we have to make progress and move forward.
Ladies and gentlemen, how about a round of applause for our head basketball coach, Konzo Martin. Thank you so much. In closing, to the members of the media, we'll do some breakout sessions here on the arena floor. For you fans that are up there, remember that there are seats that are tagged. If you'd like to secure your season tickets, go by, find one of those tags, take it out to the south lobby, and a member of the ticket office will be out there to help assist you in that process. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being here today. God bless each and every one of you. M-I-Z. Have a good day.
And on that note, with the music as the background, we exit out of our introductory press conference for the new head coach from Missouri Tiger basketball, Konzo Martin, 19th in Missouri Tiger history. Well, Jay, the words were stated. If Missouri will have him for the next 20 years, he'd stick around. We've heard that from a number of coaches, and doesn't necessarily have to be with the University of Missouri, but you know, we see him up there answering the questions, getting a lot of props from Chancellor Foley on well said, and just as you go through this and you process it, initial reaction.
I think the most important thing is Quanzo Martin. Quanzo Martin looks the part. He looks good. He's up on that dais, you know, handling this press conference with ease, handling questions, and just very much at ease. He mentioned a couple things multiple times. Home, coming home, a Midwest guy. This is where he's from. I think that's a very important thing for him and where this choice was made mentally in his headspace. And secondly, from that, also, I think what might be kind of becoming a hashtag or a mantra here is last team standing. Mm-hmm. Heard him say it one, two, maybe a third time, where he thinks that's not just, we're not just talking about getting to the tournament. We're not just talking about an Elite Eight or a Final Four. This the idea of being a Mizzou basketball player now is championships.
Yep, bumper sticker material right there. Hashtag last team standing, all one word. We'll be right back. We'll have more of the closers. We continue live from the Mizzou Arena. We'll be right back. More of the closers right after this.
And now, sports and other stuff. The closers. Join the talk now. 800-229-5378. News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
Welcome back to the closers here as we open up our number two live from the Mizzou Arena. The introductory press conference for Quanzo Martin as he was introduced as Missouri Tigers' 19th head coach. I'm George Young, Jay Sparks alongside. We slowed him down and lowered the table. Terrence Phillips joining us here on the program. To say it has been an interesting 2 years for you, I think would be a little bit of an understatement, wouldn't it?
It's I wouldn't say interesting. It's been different for me. Obviously, uh-huh. You know, being at Oak Hill, you know, we won almost every night. Mm-hmm. And then coming here, you know, having two kind of, you know, different seasons, you know, rough kind of patches in the season. I think it's better than me. I think it's better than me. Better than me as a person. Yep. You know, I've looked at it as a positive. You know, people can have, you know, win all their life, and don't know how to cope in losing when it happens. You know, for me to go through that for those 2 years and just keep wanting to be here, you know, and wear the black and gold and love where I'm at, it's made me a better person. It's made me grow as a person.
Yeah, and that can be a tough moment to acknowledge. But as you go through and went through the last couple of weeks or so with Kim as your coach, and then knowing that he wasn't going to be the head coach, what was that like for you? As that came down to finality?
You know, it was kind of a hard time. You know, we found out right before the SEC tournaments. You know, that's a little hard. You know your coach is gonna be fired. You know, whenever you guys lose again, or went out again. So it was a little hard, but you know, we wanted to give him one little last go around. You know, we played really hard in the SEC tournament. Obviously, the Ole Miss game got away from us, you know, but we clearly made the Auburn game really, really exciting for everybody and for him. It is what it is at the end of the day. You know, as a player, you know, you have no control over what really happens with that whole thing, and you just got to kind of move on and play the cards you're dealt.
Well,
with everything else that you do for the University of Missouri, for the SEC Leadership Conference and the NCAA and everything else you do, you know, your leadership has been so important for this team. You know, as this new coach steps in and engages with you guys and talks to you guys, you know, how important is your leadership going to be to the rest of the guys?
I think in the next kind of month or two, in the next few weeks here, you know, thank God we're going on spring break so he can kind of get himself together and, you know, be away from us. But I think in the next few weeks here, you know, when we get back in a few months here, him going recruiting, hiring a staff, finding the house, you know, with this family thing, I think Kevin and I, our leadership is going to have to be just on another notch. You know, there's going to be a lot of new faces, you know, there's going to be a lot of new things. We just have to adjust to it and be better leaders. So I think at the next few weeks here, you know, we just got to be even more better leaders than we already are right now.
Terrence Phillips with here, sir, on the closers. You see him up and down the court, number one for the Tigers. That meeting that you had a little while ago with Quanzo, what was that like for you guys? I mean, you know, he walks in. What's the process?
We gave him a round of applause. You know, we're excited about him being here. You know, when we found out about him being here, you know, nobody took it as a negative. We all looked at it as a positive. You know, we all know he brings energy and fire. which is a great thing for me as a point guard because that's exactly what I bring, and I think he'll probably add more energy and fire to me, which I probably don't need at times. But
it's like one too many espressos.
Man, probably a little bit too much. But you know, we're happy to have him here. You know, we had a talk. You know, he said the pass, and we're gonna move on. You know, he talked about him being a defensive-minded coach, which is good because at the beginning of the year, you know, we were top five. I think we were top five defense in efficiency, and for the first people out of the conference, you know, we were top 10. We led every defensive category, or top 10, there's only 13 teams, but like we were top five in those categories because you know we were so defensive-minded at that time. So I think having a defensive-minded coach. It's gonna be good for us. So we can get more stops and get out in transition. Cause I think that's where we're at our bet even as we go forward and move on.
Are you ready for the pace? Because he demands a lot when you see those teams play.
I'm ready for the pace. You know, okay. I think at some times last year, you know, we just kind of there were I think everything besides the Florida game last year. I think we just didn't have any energy last year. I don't know what that had to do with. You know, but we sat down as a team, you know, and we talked about where we want to be next year and you know the position we want to be in. You know, we're looking at teams in the Sweet 16. You know, Xavier, who we played in overtime, so I committed a dumb foul. So, you know, South Carolina, who's in Sweet 16, who we led the entire game here. You know, Arkansas, who lost the other day. You know, there's a lot of teams in the conference or just in general that we played that are in this tournament. That you know we were up at halftime or things like that, and we just couldn't pull away. So those being young, you know, and just you know having a better mindset. And, you know, we talked about having heart. You know, we got to have more of that and have so much more pride in wearing a Missouri jersey than we did. You know, we have a lot of it. We got to have more pride in wearing it.
He said a couple of different times out here, last team standing. How many times did he say that in your meeting?
About the same time.
Okay.
That's exciting here. Obviously, that's every coach's you know job to say that, and everybody wants to be there. But you know, we have potential at the end of the day. You know, we might not be the biggest team or the best team, but you know, we want to have the team with the most heart, and I think he's gonna bring that to us. I don't know what workout's going to be like. I don't know what practice is going to be like. I don't know what offense we're going to run, but I do know for a fact that we're going to play defense. I think that's the only thing he's talked about with us and with you guys today.
And you do know you're going to run too.
We know that, which is a good thing. You know, we want to get out and run. You know, especially with me and Jordan guys, you know, playing together. And if we don't play together, we want to get out and run.
Roller coasters, ups and downs. And when you got here, kind of in the middle of a down, you've had 2 years. How exciting is it to maybe see that? That up there, right there, where you guys can grab it.
Yeah, it's like a fresh start, you know. I look at this, you know, as being 0-0. Obviously, going into next season, you're 0-0. But I look at this basically kind of know part two of my Missouri career, and you know, having a new coach. So we're excited, you know, we're ready to get things going, and we're ready to start working out. I know I am. I got a little weight to cut after having a week off and eating whatever I wanted and not really working out. So, but I'm excited to get back.
Okay, real quick, Konzo got awarded the number one jersey up there. What's the story behind that? Do you get it back?
I hope I get it back. Okay. I mean, if not, you know, I don't mind changing, you know, my jersey.
Do you have a backup jersey number?
No, but I want to wear zero. I wouldn't mind wearing zero. I just think it looks like a cool number. But you know, hopefully I get the number one jersey back. If not, he can keep it. He's a head man.
I'm right.
Okay. All right. Terrence Phillips, thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
Appreciate the time. Enjoy your spring break and again within the limits of the law, correct?
Yes, sir. Yeah,
absolutely. Thanks, Terrence
thank
Phillips.
You guys.
We'll be right back. We've got more of the closers. We'll do that right after this.
It's the closers. Be part of the show now. 800-229-5378. News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
Yeah, welcome back to the closers here as hour number two rolls on from the Mizzou Arena. Again, the introduction of Konzo Martin as the Missouri Tigers 19th head coach alongside Jay Sparks. I'm George Young. Thanks to Terrence Phillips for sitting some down. We didn't even talk about his kicks, man. They were bright white.
Too much.
With the gold trim. They look good.
I don't have my sunglasses. I couldn't even look directly at them.
Well, I had a pair down here. You could have used
okay,
them.
Okay, all right.
So, but you have that under chin burn.
Mm-hmm, I do.
Now
it looks good.
Okay. Well, the other chin burn? No, it doesn't.
No, his shoes.
Oh, okay. All right.
Right.
Sitting down with us now, it is Brad Luce. And, you know, he's
coaching changes are hard on everybody, and you always hope for the best for everybody as the dust settles. And for Brad, you're kind of in an interesting spot in that not only do you have your position was shuffled around with Kim's squad so that you could spend time with your daughter, then all of this happens with Kim being let go. What was processing through you as all of this was coming down, knowing everything else that you have to work with on the periphery?
Well, I think our situation is a little precarious in the fact that my daughter is having some health issues, but mm-hmm. The one thing that her situation has taught us is that we need to take each situation as they come, deal with it day by day, and just kind of live in the moment, so to speak. Not to be cliche, but it's true. Me and my wife have learned to put out the fire in front of us and deal with what's in front of us. And so, we obviously knew that something was probably going to happen about a month out, and just you pray about it, you talk about it, and then when the situation arose, you deal with it, and that's kind of how we handled it.
So you put the fire out, and on the other side of that fire, the University of Missouri is still standing there. So what's life now for Brad Luce? What's the next step?
Well, I can't say enough great things about this university and this athletic department, and I was lucky enough to catch on here in the athletic department. Jim Sterk was great. Brian White had been great to me, and they've offered me a position with the Tiger Scholarship Fund, which is our fundraising arm of this department. And so, I've decided to do that, and I'm really excited about it, and I think it's going to be a great situation.
So how's orientation going?
We haven't quite gotten there yet. Okay. We've had a few meetings, but
disorientation right now?
Exactly. They're a little busy. I think you can imagine they've had a lot going on.
What?
Exactly. Between winning national championships, baseball team winning 19 straight, and now Konzo getting hired. They were a little busy, but when things slow down, we'll definitely dig in and see where how I fit in up there, and figure out how I can best help the team.
Now, today was obviously a basketball day. A lot of the focus brought to that, even though, Hank Foley and Jim Sterk both wanted to talk a lot about all the other things going on with the athletic department. But also, football, obviously, your job at Tiger Scholarship Fund being, a lot of that $96 million price tag going towards some of the south end zone facilities. Is that going to be part of your purveyance also?
Yeah, I think, the whole shebang. I'll dig in and everything, and I'll just be another member of the team up there. And it's not going to just be basketball specific. It'll be football, baseball, whatever it may be. And so I'm excited. Many people don't know. Most people know that my dad was a coach for the last 27 years at Austin Peay, and he coached for 40 years, altogether. But for 16 of his 27 years at Austin Peay, he was also the athletic director. And so that was a big chunk of my growing up was him being in that athletic director role. And so this is something that I have a familiarity with and that I'm comfortable with. And so, I'm really excited about it. It's something that's always kind of been in the back of my mind, to be honest with you.
Is that something? Okay, so long term, are you looking at Jim Sterk going, okay, that I like that corner office.
One step.
I mean, now we're not talking a palace coup just yet.
One step at a time. Okay. But no, you know what? We're going to see where this road takes us and just go wherever it goes. And, we're not going to get ahead of ourselves.
Okay.
We're just happy that we have a job. Most importantly, we have insurance. Insurance is big for our situation. And so we're thankful for that. Like my wife says, we're going to live in the moment.
Okay. Well, and continuing to live in the moment, how is your charming daughter doing?
She is doing amazing. She really has. We figured out that being home is the best medicine for her, and she got to be home for about 2.5 weeks this last stretch, and it's just amazing to see her energy level, her weight, everything just improve over 2.5 weeks. And so she just left to go back to New York about a week ago. She's got about another 2 weeks left there, and then she'll come home for a week and then go back and forth and so on and so forth. But she's doing really, really well, and we're really happy with where she's at right now.
And that, of course, is still the hashtag Rally for Ryan.
Absolutely.
It still is rolling on.
We're still raising money, and so obviously I've got a little experience
with this
fundraising thing. Okay. We've done very well. We've raised $360,000, somewhere right around there, for pediatric cancer research. And so, we're really pumped, and we're going to keep this thing going, and, you know, hopefully raise a lot more and do a lot more good.
Well, and our live studio audience is providing us a round of applause. You can't see them because they're back in the studio. We didn't allow them to come along. Something about a restraining order. But anyway, Brad, thank you very much for. I really do appreciate the time. Good luck with Tiger Scholarship Fund. Best wishes for your daughter and best of health to you and the rest of the family.
Well, thank you very much, and I appreciate you guys helping us with everything we're doing with Rally for Ryan. You know, without the media, you know, there's no way we could get the word out the way we have and raise the money that we have. So thank you very much.
Anytime, man. We're just a phone call or a text away.
Absolutely, I appreciate that.
All right. Brad Luce now with the Tiger Scholarship Fund. So don't hang up the phone when he calls.
That's right.
He's calling for a purpose. We'll be right back. We've got more of The Closers as we roll on here in hour number two. We'll do that right after this.
The Closers on News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
Hey, welcome back to The Closers here as we wrap up hour number two, at least our interview segments. I'm George Young, Jay Sparks alongside, and happy to be sitting down. And we haven't had a chance because he's been a little bit otherwise occupied, the athletic director for the University of Missouri, Jim Sterk. Well... Success, yes?
Absolutely, great day. You wouldn't hear anything different anyway.
you could get some way back in here in a couple of weeks. But, you know, just – and I go back to a couple of things that Konzo said during the introductory press conference, and that was how professionally it was handled. And how difficult is that as an athletic director where we're out there in the media throwing names like Birdshot?
You know, it's and searches can go every which way, and but what we tried to do was get everyone on the same page at the university and with the system and our board of curators before we talked to anyone, and I really you know, kind of laid out to them, here's what for us, if you really want to go out and hire a sitting Division One coach that's at a Power Five institution, it's going to take this, and it's going to take this guarantee, and kind of laid out the parameters so that they understood, and then they kind of talked and said, Jim, go do it, and so I knew I had the backing to go out and hire the best guy we thought for this program at this time, and we zeroed in on Konzo Martin and went after him.
When you use a search firm and go out there and do that, how much, you just talked about talking to the curators, but how much work falls on your shoulders as that's going on? I mean, is the communication two-way with them as the middleman, or how much falls on your shoulders during that?
Yeah, and so a lot of the work, you know, the prep work, if you will, was done. Tim Hickman, he's our CFO in our department, and Brian White, and Brian was working more on the personnel side, and Tim was working on the financial side, and so we had a great team, you know, pulling together information for the chancellor, for President Choi and the board, and then they could make educated decisions, and then you talk to your search firm, here's what we think, they kind of tell us here's what I think it'll take for these kind of candidates. And we didn't know at the start, you know, who was going to be interested. And so then they go out and say, okay, they talk to their representatives and really find out who might be interested in this job and who would be willing to really sit down with me and talk about the job. And we were excited that there was mutual interest from Konzo.
Jim Sterk, athletic director, sitting down with us here on The Closers. One of the things that we've talked about on our show and that I've heard feedback from the alumni is Missouri's history of not wanting to pay the going rate. They're good with 10 years ago rate, but not the going rate. How did you sell the board of curators on, listen, if you are truly honest with yourselves that we want to get the coach to turn this program around and get it going again, we have to pay the going rate. How did you sell them on that?
You know, I think looking at the financials of not only what it costs to do that, but then also the repercussions of what has happened to the program and where our ticket sales were and where our donations were around basketball and no fault of Kim Anderson at all. In fact, I think he did a great job of coming in and really, really building it back to a healthy situation. And I think it's a better place. Konzo's taken over a better job than it was 3 years ago when Kim did. And so, but but you have to, you know, have someone with experience and the recruiting ties and at Division I level to be able to pull it all together. And I felt like to our board and to the chancellor, we've got to get somebody that's seasoned, someone that has experience, someone that has integrity and character, and then sell them on Mizzou basketball. And part of that, you know, the last part of it, selling them on Mizzou basketball, is not that hard because people know what this program has done in the past. They know we have a great facility here. They know it's a great institution. They know this is a great college town, that you're between Kansas City and St. Louis, and you got driving distance to Chicago. So they know that, and we had great interest in the job.
What about the group that says, good God, you spent that much?
it's average. You know, the SEC is scary. I mean, it's an average salary in the SEC, and it's amazing. But when you're, you know, our ticket sales were down $2.3 million this year from 3 years ago. And that's just ticket sales. That's not concessions. That's not donations. That's not everything else that's tied to attendance at a basketball game. And so it's an investment. And I think when you have the package of Conzo Martin, it's an investment for the university because we then tackle the St. Louis area in a strong way. We have someone there, one of their sons coming here and coming to Mizzou and leading a program. So I think not only from Robin in women's basketball to Barry in football, we've got somebody that played high school ball in East St. Louis that is our coach. And so that has, since I've come, that was an area that, you know, we're not getting kids out of there. And so we want to get kids from every part of the state. It's not like I was only going to hire somebody from East St. Louis or, you know, had that background, but I was going to hire somebody that had the ability to go in and had experience in St. Louis. And I think that's really an added benefit, not only to athletics, but I think the university overall and our enrollment. And if you look at the past year, the high schools that were down, enrollment was down, it was in St. Louis area. So now we have somebody that everyone's talking about who we hired as a basketball coach. And if it's good enough for Conzo, I think it's good enough for their kid to come to school here.
Now, just quickly here, you mentioned a lot of the other sports, football and Coach Pinchton with basketball, women's basketball. You know, when you were looking at this as an AD job and you saw the two kind of revenue sports were in a bit of a lull, but the Olympic sport programs here were so incredibly kind of powerhouse in their own way. Is that a unique challenge as an AD? Or, I mean, I assume there's jobs out there where the two revenue sports are great and healthy and driving the bus and all the rest of the sports kind of get thrown to the side. Was Mizzou in a unique spot when you took that?
Yeah. It shows one that you can win and the history. I had Bill Little, a former player. He said he came 57 years ago to play basketball here, and he was on the basketball team. And he said, Jim, you've come at a time, first time in my 57 years, where both football and basketball are down at the same time. And I said, thank you very much, Bill.
Because you needed to be reminded. Right?
Yeah, apparently exactly. But, you know, he was willing to help, and we have some neat things planned, you know, coming up around men's basketball, but I think not only just Conzo, but some other things going on that we'll publicly say. But I think he.
You don't want to break news now.
Yeah, I don't want to break the news. Sorry.
Thank you.
I know. Usually I have loose lips, so I say it and.
I won't tell them. Just be between.
But actually, but it'll be. I think it was important to see that and. And that's what part of my job is to let people know all the great things going on. Because there's great things going on in wrestling and gymnastics. I think they're 13th or whatever, somewhere around there. I mean, all of our programs are being competitive, and I'm excited to be a part of a program that continues to do that.
Excellent.
Athletic Director Jim Sterk. Thank you very much, sir. Look forward to having you again here.
All right.
As a temperature check, appreciate it. Congratulations on the hire.
Thank you.
You are very welcome. We'll be right back. We'll be wrapping up hour number two. We'll do that right after this here on The Closers.
The Closers on News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
Hi, this is Mark at Dents Unlimited. If you've been involved in the recent hailstorm, you need to know that you have a choice where you get your vehicle repaired. Insurance companies often refer to certain shops based on financial incentives, which doesn't always make it the best shop for you. Dents Unlimited works with all insurance companies equally, but our primary focus is you, the customer, and your vehicle. We've repaired over 4,000 hail-damaged vehicles since 2006, and we want your business. At Dents Unlimited, we love your car like you love your car.
Where do you go when you love your car? Dents Unlimited.
That's the sound of your ball in the fairway at Eagle Knoll Golf Club, recognized as one of Mid-Missouri's best places to play golf. Eagle Knoll offers a beautiful layout, nestled on 180 acres, just 15 minutes from Grindstone Parkway in Columbia and 11 minutes from the Missouri River Bridge in Jefferson City. With five sets of tees, Eagle Knoll accommodates all skill levels, and with new dynamic pricing, you can be guaranteed to enjoy an affordable and relaxing day of golf on an exquisitely maintained, award-winning course right here in Mid-Missouri. Make your tee time now at EagleKnoll.com. Eagle Knoll Golf Club, your best round of golf is just a few minutes away. Ready to hear the sweet deal of the week? Two 18-hole rounds of golf with cart at Eagle Knoll for just $45. Two 18-hole rounds of golf with cart on this award-winning course. So have your credit card or ATM card ready to go, and at 9 a.m. this Friday by the Eagle Knoll sweet deal. While they last at KFRU.com.
The Closers on News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
Hey, welcome back to The Closers here alongside Jay Sparks. I'm George Young. We are live from Mizzou Arena as the 19th head coach of the Missouri Tigers has been introduced. Konzo Martin, formerly of Cal, formerly of Tennessee, formerly of Missouri State, formerly of Purdue, formerly. There's a lot of formerlies with Konzo, and he's now the current head coach of the Missouri Tigers as of today. Joining us now from KOMU TV8, sports director Chris Trevino.
Hello, George.
How are you?
Jay, it's good to be with you both. Good, busy like you guys.
Yeah.
A lot going on.
Our table has a skirt. You're wearing a suit and tie.
Something's going on.
I mean, man, it's a formal occasion here. Everything is draped. Interesting press conference, I think, to open things up. Just initial impressions of Konzo Martin.
Well, a straight shooter, very well liked, you know, wherever he's been. I was impressed by the amount of people that were here just in the stands. You know, fans are excited, and that's the point of making a coaching change, frankly. You know, you've got to win, usually to generate excitement. If you're not winning, you change coaches oftentimes to try to get that winning formula and that buzz back. But I thought of all the things he said, what really was most telling to me and stood out to me was his chance for him to come back home. Mm-hmm. He mentioned that a few times and, of course, didn't play at Mizzou or live in Columbia, but born in St. Louis, grew up in East St. Louis just across the river, was recruited by Missouri and Norm Stewart. He certainly knew to give Norm some pub there and spoke eloquently of him, but it's a real chance for him to come back. And I think that's why when people have asked understandably about the concern, well, you know, only 3 years at Missouri State, only three at Tennessee, only three at Cal, all fair questions. You know, why would it be longer at Mizzou? I think now at age 45, he's been out to different spots, and especially most recently being all the way out of California, really wanted to get back to the Midwest. He mentioned after the press conference to some smaller group of reporters in a setting that, you know, his mom, he's close to his mom, and he's always been, you know, a few hours away from her. And now this is going to be, you know, closer than he's been in a long, long time. You know, a few hours away would have been the closest he'd been to, is what I'm saying, distance-wise with the other jobs. And so now he's right back here. And, I think his wife and other family members really missed being back close to the St. Louis area. And, of course, this is about as close and as good and a big a job as you can get to that.
Well, I mean, he was introducing the family, his wife and his sons and his daughter and the brothers and the sisters, and you keep going up, and you're like, well, that's
a lot of them, as he said.
That's a bushel basket full of relatives, so obviously family very important. So in the way this whole thing came down, is this the right hire, not for the alumni base, but is it the right hire for the program?
I really think it is. I mean, I obviously want and try to be honest always when I'm on with you guys, and we may have talked once earlier during the search. I mean, this was the only candidate's name that I reported the night the job became open. I luckily had good information on it, and I also thought it just makes so much sense. Now, I knew there would be other names mentioned, and there were, and I certainly didn't know that he was going to take the job for sure. It was a done deal, but it just made a lot of sense because of his ties to the area, his success at the Division I level in the state of Missouri with the Bears in Springfield, in the SEC at Tennessee, and now out west at Cal. And at those places, if you look, every year his team got better. This would be the one exception this season. I think they finished two wins off last year's total. But he won a Missouri Valley title in 3 years at Missouri State. Didn't go to the tournament because they didn't win the conference tournament. Right. Get the automatic bid. See Illinois State this year, for example. Yeah, first team out. Tennessee, he gets to the NCAA tournament and the Sweet 16. Cal then hires him away. Gets to the NCAA tournament in the second year. Didn't quite get there this year, but they were one of the first four out. And, of course, two of his better players, Ivan Rabb and Jabari Bird, were hurt late in the season. And I think he can really recruit, too. We've seen him keep a kid close to home as a McDonald's All-American, and Ivan Rabb from Oakland to Cal. He'll be a first-round pick this summer if he comes out. And he kept he took Jaylen Brown, McDonald's High School All-American from Georgia, across the country to Cal. And in a year's time, he became the number three overall pick of the Boston Celtics. So, you know, I just think his track record's good. People say only two NCAA tournaments in 9 years. But again, he was at Missouri State the first time, and he had to build that up to the point. He was at Tennessee, took them over and did well with them, went to Cal, got them to the NCAA in his second year. So 3 year stops each place, but he's been to the tournament each of the last two schools, which, are, of course, are more comparable to Missouri.
While the presser was going on today, we got the financials released in hard copy. We'd all kind of heard rumors. When you look at that pay scale, and especially that pool for the assistants, and what a big jump that is, are they adequately arming him for this SEC basketball arms race that's kind of heating up right now?
Yeah, and I think that's the hope, and I think you really have to. You know, it's one thing to kind of talk the talk, but you have to walk the walk in terms of Missouri, you know, putting forth the resources to make this higher. And you're right, Jay. First of all, how about the SEC in the current tournament? Three now, including South Carolina, with the two usual suspects, Kentucky and Florida, in the Sweet 16. That's something. But you look at the hires in this league. Avery Johnson at Alabama.
Ben Howland
at Mississippi State. Yeah, Rick Bruce Barnes at Tennessee. Back. Bruce Pearl at Auburn. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's gotten serious the last few years, and that's why I admire Missouri, I think, for now walking the walk, in addition to talking the talk. And I was really impressed by Jim Stirk, the way he handled this. He got this done. This was the guy I thought he wanted from day one, the one guy for sure. And he got him and got it done quickly and swiftly, decisively, and really professionally by all accounts.
Chris Trevino, KOMU TV8 with us here on The Closers. And I know you've got other stuff that needs to get taken care of as our show wraps up here this afternoon. But all in all, a lot of talk about, okay, now the assistants and who's going to come along and the Porters.
Yes.
He is not going to answer that question because he can't.
Right, and people have already wondered why wasn't he asked at the press conference. Well, we asked him afterwards,
yeah,
realizing, you know, he really can't say anything, but let's give it a shot as yeah. opposed to in the formal setting. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know, he's got to respect their privacy, not to be evasive. I can't comment.
Yeah. So, but what are you hearing about it?
Well,
who can comment.
No, and
it.
I can't comment. I'm talking to a lot of people. I mean, it sounds good. Now, again, nothing done, nothing for mm-hmm. sure. But when people look at this situation and you realize that Romar was the kid's godfather, mm-hmm. the best friend of Michael Porter Sr., the dad, he just got fired. They're not staying at Washington. Mm-hmm. And I've been told again today by folks just here that, you know, that the family was really miserable, apart from each other as it was, broken up at a very, sensitive time. Mm-hmm. You know, at the ages of a lot of the kids, younger kids still at home and in lower grades. Couple of girls here, of course, the Porter sisters on the women's team, the two older boys. I mean, it's a family divided, obviously, for good reason in terms of basketball future. They thought at Washington, a nice paying job for dad as an assistant at Washington. But now that's all up in the air. And this is the one place that makes sense. I'm sure there's competitive bidding going on as we make a conversation right now. But I'd like to be in Missouri's situation because of the home base, so to speak, that it has been these last few years for the Porter family.
So that's the Porter question asked and answered. What's your read on what the alumni reacted to on this hire? Because I remember go back to the Kim Anderson. That was, mm-hmm. we want Kim Anderson. We want him. We want him. You got him.
Yeah, and saw how that worked out or didn't work out, unfortunately. And, you know, Kim,
what's your read on the alumni now?
Yeah, you know, I think originally maybe when the name came out, there wasn't necessarily as excitement or buzz that there would have been for Kim. Because Kim is one of Missouri's own, having been a player and assistant, such a popular guy here. But I think we saw a good crowd just show up, as I mentioned today. That I've been here for other coaches' hiring announcements in this building before. We've never seen a crowd like that today, be it football or basketball. Yeah, I mean, so there were more people here today, and that was impressive. And I just think, again, just look at his record. It's pretty solid. not the most spectacular out there. Maybe he's not the most glitzy or glamorous guy, but I think he's a straight shooter, and his teams play hard. They play good defense, and I just think he's averaging 21 wins a year in 9 years of Division I coaching. You think Missouri would go for that now?
Yeah, exactly.
And considering the amount of time it took to get to 26, yeah.
Over 3 years' time, and that's not a slam on anyone in particular. It's just the state of the program.
As we wrap it up to get you out of here, Chris, because I know you have a lot of stuff to do today, as busy like we are, how important not only the straight talk, the straight shooter, the no-nonsense kind of atmosphere, but the cleanliness of his record? I mean, how important was that for this university?
Yeah, it's not like there are none of those guys out there. But there are fewer than you might think in terms of, you know, and it, sometimes it's hard to be devoid of NCAA trouble with all the legislation and things that happen. And some penalties are more serious based upon, you know, deserving of that than others. But nary a peep in terms of his background or any NCAA problems or issues. And, of course, you know, that's been a problem here in the past, as we all know, a few times over.
Chris Trevino, KOMU TV. Catch him on that shiny box in your living room
in just
night.
A few minutes, and you
in
guys will be done,
moments.
So they
That's
can
right.
just switch yep. mediums.
Right, that is perfect.
I'll even fix my tie for them
on
TV.
Man. Straighten it out.
Just a little bit. Thanks for the help.
Okay. Right, okay. Not a problem. We're here for you, Chris Trevino. Thank you very much, man.
Thanks, guys. Time.
All right. So you know, I think as Chris exits again, you can catch him later on this afternoon in about 11 minutes. KOMU 8 will roll out their 6 o'clock news, and then later on tonight. We talked, you know, the straight shooter. We talked a little bit in the first hour about kind of our impressions, but the takeaway, everybody is going to want, well, obviously they're going to want the Porters.
Right.
Preferably gift wrapped, but they still want them. They're going to want the wins. They're going to want guys to stay. There's a lot of gotta wants.
Mm-hmm.
But as you analyze this and break this down prior to the next season starting, what's the top gotta want? Program-wise, not alumni base, not pretty newsmaker headline. The top gotta want thing may not even be the sexiest thing out there. But what's the top thing for you?
I think what you really want is I think you want a smooth transition. I know in politics there was a lot of talk of the transition of power. You know, over the last, you know, 6-7 months of time here, and I think here he said it today. Every step along the way, I've not used what happened before me as an excuse. And I think stepping in here, you want that smooth transition of power. You cannot use Kim Anderson's 3 years as an excuse anymore. You're getting paid $2.7 million with a $1.1 million assistant pool plus a recruiting budget on top of that. And your job is to come in here and win basketball games. And there, it is not about excuses and this and that and what hand I was dealt and this and that. Your job now is to come in here and fix it. You've been given the money. You've been given the tools at your disposal. If, big capital I, capital F, if the assistant coach position and recruiting positions work out the way it seems like it's angling for, you've been given a whole arsenal of players. Mm-hmm. Fix it. Come in here and don't use Kim or the previous 3 years as an excuse and come in here and win some basketball games. And it doesn't mean you have to go to the tournament. But you got to come in and instill a winning attitude right off the bat.
Well, and I think one point that Jim Stirk made in our conversation with him was Kim didn't do a bad job. It was one of those things where he was put in that spot where he made the program better as he left it than when he arrived. Now, it was a mess when he arrived.
He fell on a grenade.
Right. He was the true son from the martyr standpoint, if
right.
you will,
on, yes.
on the extension on that one. To take it the next step, though, you need your core group to stick around. And for me, the top gotta get thing is gotta get the excitement level back up so that the fans on that first couple of games here at the Mizzou Arena, they're here. You've got not a fictitious 10,601. You have a real 8,000 to 10,000 here for those first couple of games.
If I'm not mistaken, they're opening against Power 5 school. They're opening against Iowa State mm-hmm. next year here
Correct.
At home, and I believe that that's the kind of thing that will bring in a crowd like that, and will bring in, you know, the faces and who want to come and see what's going on. A tournament type team from another Power 5 conference, one we're familiar with, who we played multiple seasons in the same conference and division as, and that's only something that Mizzou can, that's what they can ask for. And that's such a great start to get that going and kickstart that.
And if you remember, they just were in the tournament.
They were.
So you're opening up your season with an NCAA tournament team out of the Big 12 Conference. For some folks, it'll be old home week when that team rolls in. Again, the financials for head coach Akonzo Martin, again, the 19th head coach for Missouri Tiger men's basketball. This coming year, he will open up with a $2.7 million guarantee. The base, $300,000. The base is $300,000 through all 7 years of this deal. Total deal guaranteed at $21 million. It escalates up $100,000 per year, beginning at 2.7 and topping out at 3.3 in year number 7 of this deal in 2023. The incentives, the academic and social incentives are at 50,000 academic aspirations. SEC championship is at 50,000. SEC tournament championship is 25. NCAA tournament, you make it, you get 25K. You get to the Sweet 16, it's another 25. You get to the Elite 8, 50. You get to the Final Four, 75. If you are the last team standing, as he said several different times, you get $200,000 in addition to all of the rest of that for making the tournament. SEC Coach of the Year, $25,000. National Coach of the Year is going to be $50,000. There are different benchmarks. 25 wins, $25,000. 30 wins is $50,000, which basically means you've done really, really well in your regular season, and you've gotten to the tournament, and you've advanced at least to the Elite Eight for your money. Ticket revenues are in here, and that was one point that Jim Sterk had made, was that ticket revenues off over $2 million in this last year. And that was one thing that he cited as, we need a change.
Yeah.
Dollars are falling off. Revenue is falling off. Donations are falling off. And the one thing that Jim Sterk mentioned was, it wasn't just the ticket revenue. The attendant dollars that are beyond that. If you think about, from an economic standpoint, they always talk about the 3-to-1 ratio.
Mm-hmm.
For every $1 you're spending, there's $3 that is generated extra. So that 2.1 deficit translates into almost, a $6 million deficit community-wide.
Right.
And that was one thing that, to go back to the original presser that Konzo had mentioned, was you're not just a member of the team, you're a member of the community.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the community took a hit financially this year with basketball.
And then one thing I saw mentioned many times as the kind of fervor unfolded with the hiring of Martin on Twitter and via the Porter rumors and those kinds of things was the idea of recruiting. Coach Odom was kind of reluctant to use the basketball games as a recruiting tool.
Mm-hmm.
So this is something that changes that and puts that back on the map as well.
Well, and that's one thing too. You think about this whole thing, it's a package deal. Everything is intertwined with this university and the way they went out and they got the guy that they wanted in Konzo Martin. Athletic Director Jim Sterk tweet out earlier this afternoon by Dave Matter, a no BS kind of guy. Both Sterk and Martin, I think they'll work well together. We'll see how this goes. Thanks for listening in today on The Closers. Appreciate all of our guests today, Athletic Director Jim Sterk, also Brad Luce and Terrence Phillips. And running the show to start things, Tom Holmes wrapping it up, Brian Wilson, and back in the studio punching our buttons as he normally does with alacrity, John Duncan. Thanks again for listening as Jay Sparks.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate the time, man.
No problem.
We'll talk to you all tomorrow. And as always, please be careful out there.
News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.